This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In the first half of that first hour, we are going to discuss more of the broad markets, and then in the second half, touch a little bit more on those resource sectors. And I do also want to say thank you to everybody who has been emailing me and who has been following along with those companies that I've been bringing on the show. It's always very valuable to me to see the general attitude that all of you have towards those companies. That being said, I am kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's talk about these U.S. equity markets. They just, for the most part, seem to keep on going. I know that this recent rally has gone on longer than a lot of people have thought, and now a lot of those naysayers are starting to turn bullish again, saying, you know what, we've been fighting this for so long that maybe now it's time to jump in and say, new all-time highs, here we go, and maybe even higher. What do you have to say about how this market is setting up and how it feels like people are getting sucked back in?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly gone on longer than I expected. And, you know, it's a function of, I think early on in the rally was a lot of short covering, and then buyback activity kicked back in early in the year after the blackout window closed. And so the combination of those two factors created a strong rally. But I think what's pushing it now, to me, in a lot of different respects, I mean, we're basically back in now the buyback blackout window. And you're seeing, I think, retail start to pour back in. And we've seen retail just be the absolute wrong way whipsawed trader over the last 18 months, whether it's, you know, that money pouring into stocks in late 17, early 18, and then getting crunched in that February volatility decline, and then pouring back into the markets in last, you know, late summer, early fall before that, waterfall decline in the fourth quarter. And then you saw huge outflows at that point. We're seeing inflows coming back now. I think, again, it was the S&P 500, the growth spider ETF, just saw its greatest flows, inflows in history. So it's clearly that's what's going on, is retail's just jumping back in again. It's the fear of missing out that's driving this. But to me, it's interesting to note the fact that market momentum peaked back in late February. Breadth also peaked in late February, as did risk appetites. And so these are just kind of different proprietary things that I look at to see what's the strength of the rally look like. And by all measures I look at, this, the peak of the strength of the rally was well over a month ago. And so we've had these bearish divergences kind of building up that suggest to me this rally is running on fumes right now.
So how much money do you think is still on the sidelines, whether it comes from the retail investors or investors that even maybe have diversified into other assets and taken some gains out of some of those even safety plays that seem to run when those markets were running higher? What do you think? As much as it's running on fumes, how much more upside do we potentially have?
You know, it's probably possible that we could make new highs. I still tend to doubt it because we would need some type of a correction first, just because the breadth of the rally and the momentum of the rally is really kind of working against it right now. But in terms of cash on the sidelines, this is something that people have been talking about for a long time, and there's two things that I look at to try and understand this, and they're both longer term measures. The first would be the percentage of household assets invested in the equity market, and this is something the Fed puts together and provides, and it's hovering near all-time highs right now. So investors already have the greatest allocation to stocks that they've had in history. So it's very difficult for them to add more equity exposure on top of what they already have. The other thing you can look at is just margin debt figures, and margin debt recently was off the charts. Whether you're just talking about nominal margin debt or margin debt relative to GDP, it was at all-time record highs last fall. Now, I mean, that I think really kind of helped accelerate the decline, but margin debt has not come storming back either in this rally, and there's still a ton of leverage out there on behalf of these investors. So they might have some, you know, with this rally, some you know, free credits available to speculate on the upside, but to me, the longer-term issue is that all of that debt must become, at some point in the future, forced supply in the equity markets. And so to me, I think, you know, to think about how much more upside we might have, you know, relative to the potential downside when there's forced selling on behalf of these leveraged traders, is like thinking about picking up pellet pennies in front of a steamroller. So I don't think there's much cash on the sidelines left. Really, it's going to come down to what is this first quarter, these first quarter numbers look like, and how investors respond to it.
Any comment on these first quarter numbers now that we've seen a little bit of a recovery, it looks like, out of China, even though you can argue that a lot of that recovery is due to easy money policies out of the People's Bank of China? Do you think that maybe there is also the fact that we could be seeing a little bit of a global recovery or at least stabilization?
My friends at Knowledge Leaders Capital recently wrote an interesting piece on that, and they showed that shadow lending in China, you know, in March again just dropped, you know, dramatically. So the uptick in, you know, the Chinese economy potentially, or signals of it, is potentially just related to the timing of the new year and those types of things. So you look at, you know, South Korean exports and things that are usually leading indicators, and they're all still pointing south in terms of that. So I mean, I think that first quarter is going to be, you know, analysts already expect a decline of 3-4% or something in earnings. Small caps are expected to see about a 14% decline in earnings, I think. But really what's going to be important is the guidance, because a lot of investors are counting on this idea of a second half rebound. Okay, maybe first quarter earnings will be down, but analysts, you know, are projecting a huge rebound in the back half of the year. So if companies are talking optimistically, you know, then that, you know, narrative will stay alive. But if companies are providing downbeat guidance, then that narrative's, that's what's priced into the market, is a second half rebound. If we don't get it, then that leaves, you know, the market open to some disappointment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this earnings season brings in terms of forward projections, but that is coming right around the corner. Let's also talk about the bond market. We saw quite the reversal in the bond market when the Fed, for the most part, reversed course. We saw yields get pushed down. We even saw the 3-month, 10-year spread invert there for a short period of time. But bonds have sold off just a little bit. We've seen a little bit more of the yields rising here, but again, it seems like the yield market is almost pricing in a rate cut later this year. It's about 50-50 now. What do you think about what's been going on in the bond market?
You know, I've been, you know, longer term bearish on bonds really since mid 2016, but I was tactically bullish for the last few months just because with the slowing activity and positioning got too crazy in bonds, where people got way too bearish. But positioning, all that kind of is reversed. Last week I noted, you know, to my readers that bond market, or the 30 year treasury bond futures market, the daily sentiment index hit 93% bulls, in that market. And then in the 10 year treasury futures market, small speculators are off the charts long. I mean, they have their greatest long position, and this is as of last week, greatest long position in over 10 years. So now you have the opposite, where you have a ton of people betting on higher bond prices, falling yields, even after yields have fallen so much. And the other thing that I look at in that regard is the copper to gold ratio. And while interest rates have been making new lows this year, the copper to gold ratio is making a much higher low. And so that's a bullish divergence. You also have oil prices rising, which are usually a good leading indicator for interest rates. All of those things, you know, tell me that positioning just got way too crazy. People got way too bullish.
Unfortunately, Jesse and I are out of time for this segment on the radio, but we did continue this conversation for another 10 minutes, getting into the truth, or what he thinks is the truth behind this trade war between the U.S. and China. To listen to that full interview, come visit our website, kereport.com, or download the podcast. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back talking energy with Joseph Schell.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
You're weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation I had with Jesse Felder. It was a bit of a long one, but we did cover a lot of topics for more of the broad averages and what's going on with the U.S.-China trade deal. In this segment, we are going to focus a bit more on the energy sector with a good friend of the show, Joseph Schachter. He writes the Schachter Energy Report. Joseph is, again, my go-to source for what's going on in the energy market, and also driving down into the companies. Joseph, let's start off with the broad comment on the oil market. A nice rebound ever since December, grinding higher as we're recording this. Oil crude is just under $63 a barrel. How much further do you think this market could run, considering it's already been a pretty nice recovery after that sell-off in the Q4 of last year?
Yeah, if you remember some of our previous comments, we were looking for that correction in the fall. Inventories were building, and we were seeing the general market erosion. And when the general market erodes, energy, which is high beta, got hit, and we also saw the commodity and hedge funds liquidating long positions they had in oil, and they had shorts in natural gas, so they reversed the trade. And we got down to $42. We, during December, were seeing the markets a table pounding buy. The index at the time was, the S&P TSX Energy Index was 127. And you had some fabulous buys. I think, you and I have talked about Vermilion. Well, Vermilion got down to around $27, which is like, was providing a 10% yield. They've never cut their dividend, and now it's $33.70. So you're talking, 20% capital gain in 4 months. Or less than 4 months, and plus the dividend yield. Whitecap was trading at 380. It's now just under $5 at 496. So two of the bigger names that we've been supportive of have done very, very well. Right now I think we're getting a little long on the tooth here for this rally, because it's a very focused one-way trade, bullish. And it's because, of course, OPEC's been cutting production significantly. The Iran sanctions, people are talking just around the corner. Iran in May is going to have sanctions applied to them again. We're going to see, the Venezuela numbers continue to weaken because of the power issues there and lack of getting condensate. And so we're going to see, continued, bullish comments out there. The one that I think really helped this week to take it up $3-4 was the Saudi Arabia bond deal, where they were showing that the Ghawar field, which is the largest oil field in the world, which was producing at 1.6 million barrels, is now down to, 3.2, 3.3 million barrels. So the depletion of that field is there. It's still got a long life, even at these kinds of volumes. But the key for is that people are saying that, the availability of oil is the supply of oil is going to be an issue here. And I believe in the second half of 2019, it definitely will be a part of it. Seasonally, though, we're in the period now where, we're after the winter when demand was probably 21.5 million barrels a day. The data that came out Wednesday from the EIA showed that the demand this week was 20 million barrels, just under it, 19.98, and that inventories built by 7.2 million. So we're in the seasonal period where inventories start to build, and until you get to the summer driving season, you're going to see an inventory build. So at some point, I think that between the inventory build, which will tell people that there's not a problem near term and that there is adequate supply. Two, I think first quarter earnings, we've already gotten indications from FedEx and Walgreens Boots that the numbers aren't going to be so good. And if there's any issue, as you said in your previous section, you were talking about the China trade deal. If the trade deal does the numbers but doesn't do the intellectual property portion of it, I think the market may not take it as bullishly as they are. And that could give us a cool off in April, May. If that's the case, I think we may see a pullback. The index today on the S&P TSX is 158. It's up 2.3% on today. It could go back below one into the 130s, which would give you, potentially, 10 to 15% correction. And if some of these stocks pull back, potentially 20%, which is likely, you'll get another buying opportunity, but definitely not as attractive as you had in December of 2018. That was the table pounding buy window. But if they back off a little bit, people, probably were afraid to buy in December when it was melting down. Now that we get a pullback, a reasonable proportion, people can say, well, I really like Vermilion. It got down to 28, ran to 34, 35, backed off to 30. Yeah, now I should stick my neck out and buy it. And I can argue, the same with any other name we want to talk about.
Okay, so we should expect, and what you're saying, some sort of a pullback, seasonality, and just because everything recently has been kind of going in the favor of a bullish oil trade. But you did mention a couple of the larger stocks, what you're paying attention to. Do you think that's where investors should be focused? Is it more of a large cap name or large cap play rather than driving down into some of the smaller plays right now?
Yeah, I think the key thing is that when the market comes back into a sector, they go into the liquidity areas, they go into the names with the clean balance sheets and the trophy management teams. Some of the mid caps had some very good moves too, like for example, Birchcliff, which is a name that we really like, was down to 257 in the fall or in the December period. It's now 362. So, you've had yourself almost a 25% move in that stock, which is very encouraging. And I can give you other names where the stocks have had very good moves. Trican was under, which is a the biggest fracker in Canada, was trading under a buck. It's $1.43 today, so it's up over 40, almost 45%. So to me, if we get a pullback, you want to look at those names. We put a significant list together, and we talk about it in our Schachter Energy report. So if any of your viewers want to look at some of our sample copies that we have there, they're not the current copies, but they're historic. They can see just how we approach things and the mix of companies we cover. Our focus is energy and energy service in Canada, and we cover everything from large cap to small cap. So the biggest company we cover is a $5 or $6 billion company. Some of the smaller companies are sub 100 million, but they're all legitimate operating companies.
All right, so a lot to unpack there, but I think for some of those hanging their hats on maybe some bounce coming on the back of the Alberta election, you're absolutely right. We need to look federally for a change more from the top. And also in my province, in BC, we really need a change to happen here, but I don't know. I'm not overly confident as to that to happen, but federally, that can make a big change, but that comes in October. And I think the real takeaway here is it has been a nice run, even for some of the stocks, but look for kind of a natural pullback coming just around the corner, whether it happens in April or in May, that could offer another buying opportunity. But hey, that's what I'm going to have you again back on the show. If anybody again wants some more information on Joseph's newsletter, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, or also search the Schachter Energy Report. I will have a link on the weekend show posting. Joseph, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for updating us on what's going on in the energy sector.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. It's better and much more effective than the previous wall.
President Trump inspected a portion of the new wall on Friday. He toured a two-mile section near Calexico, California. A plaque proudly decrees that this is the first section of President Trump's border wall. During a discussion with border officials, he was told border agents can't handle the recent flood of migrants coming through Mexico from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. In El Paso, Texas, some congresswomen visited a border detention facility. California Congresswoman Lauren Underwood.
It's heartbreaking. I've never experienced anything like we saw today on U.S. soil. And I will take back to Washington a commitment to ensuring that we do everything in our power so this never happens again.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that's spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition, and now moving a little bit more in the direction of a company update in the resource sector. I am chatting with Metalla Royalty and Streaming. Metalla is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA and on the OTCQB under the symbol MTAFF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Brent Heath. And Brent, I wanted to outline or highlight this story on the weekend show because you and I have been chatting sporadically every couple of months about some of the deals that Metalla is taking part in. Now, just as a reminder, Metalla really found its niche in terms of the royalty and streaming company taking advantage of these smaller royalties that were either held within larger companies or even within some smaller companies where these companies were just not getting any value for them. You've built up quite a portfolio of royalties. Now, a lot of them do have a production timeline anywhere from about 5 years out. But right now, I do want to highlight a deal that you guys entered and was put forth on April 1st, so Monday of this week. And it is a purchase of 18 royalties from Alamos. The deal is about $8.5 million U.S. payable in shares. Can you take us through how this deal came together with Alamos, please?
Sure, Corey. Well, thanks for having me on again. This was a transaction that really goes right back to our whole strategy and our business and how we've grown this company since day one. And, you know, if any of your listeners have paid attention, you know, you can go back to those early interviews and see us prove this concept in really real time here. And this is what you noted. So this is what we call, these are secondary royalties that are held by third party holders. And, these Alamos itself, all of the royalties that we bought weren't on any of their projects that they own themselves. You know, they acquired these royalties through a number of M&A transactions over a number of years. And, you know, they had all these royalties on their balance sheet and they were getting no value for them, right? It's a major corporate kind of pushing almost $3 billion in market cap, multiple mining operations. And they've got this little portfolio and it's a very attractive group of assets, which is why, you know, we saw some value there, but it really translated into nothing for Alamos. And so what we were able to give Alamos is we were able to give them, a platform to be able to get immediate value, first off, in the share value of these assets, but also be able to maintain that exposure and the benefits of these assets getting pushed forward and becoming more valuable and having those valuations or being able to get the valuations as a shareholder in Metalla, which Metalla has the ability to get the higher public market valuations that other royalty and streaming companies get, where, you know, if they're held internally, whether it's Alamos, like a big corporate, or it could be an individual or a private company or an exploration company that hold these royalties, there's really no liquidity. There's no price discovery. There's no diversification. And, you know, we're able to provide a company like Alamos. And in turn, for Metalla, and why these deals work out so well is that, you know, we get a very well respected major mining company as a major shareholder for us. And as a strategic shareholder for us. We get the ability to add 18 royalties at once. That's going to take our portfolio from about 25 to 43. We get the ability to pick up 5 advanced stage royalties out of that package that we think has a really great probability of producing cash to the company over this next bull cycle. We get exposure to top tier operators, Agnico Eagle, SSR Mining, Kirkland Lake, Bonaventura, a lot of others. And, you know, it just so happened that this package was also in a bunch of great jurisdictions, you know, with 8 in Canada, 6 in Peru, 3 in Mexico, and 1 in Chile. So it really checked all the boxes. And, you know, as I walked through, you know, the process of it, it really is a win-win transaction. And that's how, you know, that's how we've been able to scale this business at a, you know, I'd say a well above average rate, in comparison with the peers, is because, you know, we have a very unique model that is attractive for these holders because everything they want out of these royalties, we can give them. And in turn, Metalla gets to do these very highly accretive transactions, and it adds value. And the share price is seeming to follow that.
Well, you hit on a number of the aspects that caught my eye. One of those being the counterparties having those majors or a lot of the majors or high value companies managing these properties and trying to bring them into production, plus a safe jurisdiction. One thing to remember with royalties, they're great to have on the books of a company much like yours with a much smaller market cap than somebody like Alamos because they don't cost you anything to hold and they can provide some very nice upside when the projects go into production. Let's talk about some of the headline assets that came along with these royalties, because when you have that large of a royalty package of an option, at least on 18, 16 for sure royalties, not all of them are obviously going to be headline ones, but some of the key assets, one being this El Rialto property, which is adjacent to Agnico's already operating La India mine. Can you please break down the importance of this project within this portfolio?
Sure. The El Rialto royalty is one that you know, we're really excited about it. This asset, and full disclosure, it does come with a 60-day right of first refusal. And so there is going to be a period, that we need to wait in order to, you know, be able to complete the sale. But this asset is a satellite deposit right next to Agnico's La India mine. And, you know, the La India mine is a core asset for them. You know, this is something that is early stage, but it has a very high potential to be near-term production. And it has a lot of potential, we think, to grow to a much larger size than where it is today. You know, one thing that's important to note, you know, Agnico being such a great operator and so disciplined, you know, over the years of growing that company, you know, they've never financed, mines via royalty or stream. So, you know, this is a way that where, you know, the rest of the competition is would love to give these guys a check to get them to put a royalty or a stream on any of their assets. You know, they do such a great job of just running their company. You know, they can finance internally, all new, you know, most or in the past, all of their mines, and to be able to get exposure to a company, and an operator like Agnico, you know, specifically to an asset that is, you know, what we think has ability to be short-term cash flow and grow, you know, that really checks all the boxes for us. So we're really excited about that, and we, you know, we hope we can kind of complete that out 60 days.
Just one more quick follow-up. Because Agnico, they don't do any deals releasing royalties. How did this royalty come to be generated?
So Alamos sold them this property. And as all of these companies do, whenever a property changes hands, they always retain these royalties. And that goes for big companies like Agnico and Alamos, and it goes for the smallest of the small junior companies, and even down to the prospector. There's always these royalties that are retained, and none of them have homes. And we're able to seek out the best ones and bring them into Metalla for the benefit of the shareholders.
All right. I do appreciate that update there, Brett. If anybody has any further questions on Metalla, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We are going to continue to follow along with some of the major news events from Metalla, because this company, just looking even at the share price too, has really started to gain some investor attention, and I think that move by investors into more of the royalty and streaming companies also is helping to benefit. Brett, again, thank you very much for your time and the update.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale priced for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm happy to say that I am joined by Joe Mazumdar. He is the co-editor of Exploration Insights with also Brent Cook. And Joe, let's talk about this resource sector kind of in a broad sense. First, by talking about the financing environment for juniors, even going into the mid-tiers, the financing environment, at least over the last couple of months, we have seen a few more private placements getting closed, and even some oversubscribed private placements. But still, there isn't this wath of money out there that is just flying into the sector, and it's very select companies that have been able to raise what I think are even reasonable amounts of money. This all ties in with the fact that we are approaching a drill season, the summer drill season, so companies need this money in the bank. What are your comments on this environment that we've seen for companies trying to raise money in the resource sector?
Well, thanks for having me, Corey. Yeah, I would say the financing risk right now for junior explorers is pretty high. And, you know, you have to have this sort of Venn diagram of intersecting positives of jurisdiction, type of commodity that you're looking for, a management team with the history of basically making others money. That sort of intersection is few, and those are, you know, the people that hopefully are getting financed and sometimes oversubscribed, and basically everybody else is not able to tap the markets. The markets obviously are not only sort of sideways to down, but, you know, what we've seen, and I think we've talked about this before, is this change, especially in the gold sector, between the assets under management going from active funds 5 years ago to more passive funds. That's driving a lot of a change in the ecosystem of financing, such as there are less people stock picking, less people involved in private placements on the institutional equity side. They have less of an influence now. And so for the juniors, their propensity is to go to retail and try to cobble together money. Like, now we don't see the tens, the twenties, even the $30 to $50 million for these non-cash flowing producers. Now it's like a $2 million placement, a $5 million placement if you're lucky, just to keep the next program or number of catalysts for the next season going.
Now, this also ties into, I think, well, the lack of money ties into the fact, too, that there are just too many companies on the venture exchange, too many resource companies that really don't have much going for them and simply raise maybe a couple $100,000 here and there just to keep the lights on. You did a recent presentation before PDAC on this. Can you share some of the details and tie that in with the financing environment?
Yes. I mean, the topic was something like The Sixth Extinction, a very good book on evolution and the issues with massive extinction events. And so with respect to the junior sector, if we look at the, the Canadian market is very, is renowned for being able to finance mining ventures. The TSX main board is fine versus other industries, whether it's diversified sector, technology, oil and gas, life sciences, real estate, clean technology, energy, sort of anything like that. The mining sector on the TSX main board, the number of companies, is okay. The problem becomes on the venture. The amount of companies in those other sectors versus the venture is amazing because it's the venture has about 1,000 companies listed on it that are mining related. And I doubt if all those companies could raise money. And so there's a small proportion of that 1,000 that actually can attract money. And then the question that you put forward, which is a good one, is that why do the other ones exist? One is that they're hoping to get that triple bagger, but also the risk for them is not that great and the cost isn't that great because the barrier to entry to list on the venture is not particularly egregious. So you can actually enter and then you could try to mine the market.
Yeah, it's really a tough situation out there. And in all fairness, we've been asking this question of why some companies are still alive for 10 years now. So I guess that's just kind of the fact and the situation that this market remains in. Can we also discuss, again, what I mentioned on the onset here is that we are entering the summer drill season. Certain areas can get hotter than other ones with more interest being shown. What is your take? What are you looking forward to this summer as more drills get turning and more cash, unfortunately, being spent?
Yes, I mean, in terms of our portfolio, we're globally pretty diversified, so I don't particularly look forward to, like, once we have the South American season, like, as we get the North American season coming up, we're sort of going down in the South American season in our plays in Peru and Argentina and Chile. And then the other plays pop up in North America. So I'm less concerned about that in terms of news flow. But I would say that, there is jurisdictionally, Canada is a very important part of the retail sector. And they look forward to the financings right now to fund the drilling programs in the next summer. So I would say that a lot of people are looking to fund, and they probably want to get in as quickly as possible because if you leave it too late, there might not be any money left.
Yeah, that is the problem, right? But you need to get some work done. Can you share some stocks that you're paying more attention to? Mostly because right now, as much as you want to talk about the market, the fact of the matter is it's very much a stock picker's market. If you have the assessment that the metals aren't just going to go screaming higher, which I think a lot of non-gold bugs have that outlook right now, then you do need to be driving down into some of the good stories and some of the stories that can actually get some stuff done. Anything that you can share with us right now?
Well, I would say that right now, some of the markets, commodity markets, are more buoyant than others. But I would say that that all of them suffer from the same issue on the supply side, that there's not a lot of quality projects out there that the producers have. And if they want to grow their production profile or even run to standstill, they need to add new projects. And that's where exploration comes in. And some commodities, the juniors play a bigger role than other commodities. Juniors play potentially less of a role in copper than they do in gold. Because juniors, with respect to gold exploration, it's much more reasonable for them in terms of cost. And so a lot more money in the junior sector goes to gold exploration. Our focus, as well as gold, has been on the copper side, just because we see the issues with explorers and companies trying to find decent copper assets. So we've got quite a bit of exposure to copper programs that are being actively drilled in Peru, in Mexico. And I want to point out, like last year, this, you know, moderate grade, let's say to lowish grade, you know, porphyry play in Russia even got sold by EMX Royalty. And now this company is sitting on, you know, almost $90 million in working capital. You know, so these assets are being sold, they're being funded. And if it's not the retail sector and the diminishing institutional equity sector, the strategics are coming in. So we hear a lot about that. So even though you might think, well, who are these guys going to get funded by, because the institutional market isn't there, retail equity can't raise that kind of money, who can raise that kind of money are the strategics with these private placements. They can give you the 10 to 15, almost to $20 million. And they can also do it at a premium, which is great for the company. And they don't want, or they don't care about warrants. And so that's a very accretive financing for companies. But you have to have an asset that interests that company. So that's the important thing right now. And geology still matters with respect to presenting a project that a strategic would want to get a foothold in potentially now.
Yeah, that's a key distinction, too. Unfortunately, even though we have seen some M&A activity, it just hasn't been exciting M&A activity. So that also just doesn't draw more people or suck more people into the market. Joe, it's great having you on the show. Thank you again for taking some time this weekend. And everyone, be sure to check out the Exploration Insights newsletter, because if you're an investor in the junior or even mid-tier sector, it is very much well worth your time. Joe, thanks again for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend edition, the first hour. As always, keep in touch. Fleck@kereport.com is my email address. I love hearing from all of you, and I always do my best to get back to your emails in a timely fashion and give you my honest thoughts on the companies and questions that you are asking. So please keep those coming, and everybody, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here, because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.